bet you already know this story. You might, however, think that it's an urban legend. This is the kind of story that screams urban legend, and nobody would ever be stupid enough to try to blow up a whale on a beach with people standing around a quarter of a mile away. They just wouldn't do that, would they? Would they? They did. Hi, my name is Finn J.D. John. It's Friday, March 23rd, and I'm reading a column from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every day. Every weekday, that is. Of course, if you're subscribed to this podcast, you know that. If you'd like to know more about this little daily podcast or about the newspaper column, stay tuned. Or you can read the online archives at offbeatoregon.com. A version of today's column first ran in the newspapers in September 2008. An updated version ran in other papers on July 2nd, 2009. Both times it ran under the headline, Exploding Whale? It's a True Oregon Tale! Here goes. On Thursday, November 12th, 1970, an event happened that put the town of Florence on the map. A highway engineer, faced with the need to dispose of an 8-ton whale carcass which had washed up on the beach, tried to vaporize it with a half-ton of dynamite, with the results that most people who knew about dynamite could have predicted, and did. Walt Umenhofer sure saw it coming. He was a businessman who happened to be in town with his brand new car, an Oldsmobile Delta 88 Regency, which he later told Springfield News reporter Ben Raymond Lowe that he'd bought days earlier at Dunham Oldsmobile in Eugene during a promotion taglined, really, I'm not kidding, this is true. Quote, get a whale of a deal on a new Oldsmobile. Umenhofer got explosives training during his World War II service, and what he saw on the beach that day made him very, very nervous. He knew project manager George Thornton was not going to get the results he wanted. He either needed a lot less dynamite, so that the whale would just be kind of pushed out to sea, or needed a whole lot more, so that it would be torn into tiny pieces. Umenhofer told the Springfield paper he tried to warn Thornton, but was blown off. Umenhofer shrugged and made a note to himself to be as far away from the whale as possible when it all went off. Umenhofer told his story to a San Francisco TV reporter named Wayne Friedman of KGO-TV in an interview 25 years later. Here's how he remembers it. Quote, but the guy says, anyway, I'm going to have everyone on top of those dunes far away. I says, yeah, I'm going to be the farthest SOB down that way. And so he was, but he couldn't know how personally Thornton's mistake was going to end up affecting him. The story was covered for KATU-2, one of the Portland TV stations, by Paul Lindman, then a fresh-faced young fellow in his mid-20s. As one might expect given his young age, Lindman made a minor error reporting the story, assuming that it was a California gray whale when in fact it was a sperm whale. This is certainly an understandable error. California grays are a lot more common on the Oregon coast than sperm whales are. But in his book, Lindman more than makes up for it with one line, which you'll find on page 77. Quote, explosions in the movies usually look like a blast of fire and smoke. This one more resembled a mighty burst of tomato juice. A mighty burst of tomato juice. Now that's painting a picture with words. If you search for exploding whale on Google, you'll find Lindman's story, about 2.5 minutes long. You'll see the whole thing, from the guys packing boxes of dynamite, to the impressive explosion, and the possibly even more impressive aftermath. You'll get to hear George Thornton say, and this is a direct quote, well, I'm confident that it'll work. The only thing is we're not sure how much explosives it'll take to disintegrate this thing. End quote. You'll also get to hear the people on the beach watching the blast, yells of excitement turning to disgust, dull thumping sounds, a woman saying, okay, Fred, you can take your hands out of your ears now. Here come pieces of, oh my. You'll also get to see Walt Umenhofer. Remember him? The guy who warned Thornton about his plan? Walt appears about 2 minutes into the video, standing next to his brand new Oldsmobile. Its passenger compartment had been flattened by a chunk of flying blubber the size of a small truck tire. Lindman's TV story was, of course, snatched up by the network and played all over the country. 50-year-old retired Army ordnance guys all over the nation who learned how to blow up stuff during World War II wondered what the heck Thornton was thinking. 20 50-pound cases of dynamite sound like a lot, but in the context of 8 tons of untamped rotting meat, they dwindled to insignificance. And Thornton actually said on camera to Lindman that he wasn't sure how much dynamite he ought to be using. With the benefit of hindsight, it's pretty easy to wonder why he didn't pull someone who knew something about explosives in on the project, even if that someone was a know-it-all stranger with a brand new Olds parked 450 yards away. A stranger like Walt Umenhofer, who got well away from the blast site himself, but neglected to collect his car. Umenhofer, who still lives in Springfield, now owns and operates the Baron's Den, which is a gun store and indoor shooting range just south of Eugene, visible from Interstate 5. It usually sports a bright blue banner reading, "Shoot a real Tommy Gun." Walt tries to avoid talking about the exploding whale, mostly because he's sick of telling the story. In any event, the exploding whale, with the help of syndicated humor columnist Dave Barry, who had great fun with it, has become part of our entire nation's pop culture, and has been mistaken for an urban legend many times. Many Florence residents were not pleased at first. They felt that this was the wrong way to get one's hometown on the map. But today, almost 40 years later, even the crankiest among them chuckle about it, if sometimes a bit wistfully. But not George Thornton, who was promoted to the Medford office 6 months later. A cynical observer might characterize this as being kicked upstairs. On the day of the blast, he told reporter Larry Bacon of the Eugene Register Guard, he said, quote, "It went just exactly right, except the blast funneled a hole in the sand under the whale," end quote. Thereby, he added, causing some of the whale to be blown back toward the parking lot. Decades later, Thornton was still defiantly sanguine about the whole operation. Contacted by Lindman in the mid-1990s, he refused to be interviewed on camera, and seemed to feel that the news coverage of the event had converted a successful exercise into a disaster through bad publicity. Bad publicity is a powerful force, but I'm afraid that it doesn't wreak that kind of magic. The conversation ended on a sour note when Lindman asked Thornton if he didn't want to tell the public about it, about what had gone wrong that day. "What do you mean, what went wrong?" Thornton asked Lindman tersely, apparently by way of implying that nothing had. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column. If you'd like to see more, you can read hundreds of columns from the last 4 years on our website at offbeatoregon.com. On the website, you can also subscribe to get these podcasts delivered directly to your smartphone every day via RSS or iTunes. Also, if you're into history geekery, be sure to check out the Facebook and Twitter feeds as well. All my stuff is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. See offbeatoregon.com/cc for details. And hey, if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of something at the Beanery, or maybe a giant bowl of Moe's clam chowder, look me up. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.